Hi everyone, and welcome to Final Score with The Score. Crystal Palace 1, Chelsea 1 in the Premier League. A very frustrating result. We get a point at Selhurst Park. Cole Palmer gave us the lead in the first half and Mateta equalised in the second half. Lots of incident as well. Chelsea probably could have been out of sight in the first half if we'd taken our chances. Really should have taken our chances in the first half. Jackson, Palmer and others missed chances that we should have scored. Second half potentially had a penalty that maybe should have been given or should have been given to VAR at least. Wasn't. One mistake. Cole Palmer gave the ball away and they score. So very frustrating because I don't think we deserve to get... I think we could easily have won that game. And if we'd been clinical enough in the first half. So a very frustrating day for Chelsea. As usual, I'm joined by Louis, my man. I hope Rami will be here at some point as well. Louis, welcome.
Hello. I feel like we'd be repeating ourselves if we say the same issues now, which we've been discussing for the previous three games. Everton, I think we look at and we can say, you know, Everton's a tough place to go. Fulham wasn't good enough and neither was Ipswich. And today, I think, falls into a similar vein. Same issues, lethargic second half, Chelsea not potent enough in front of goal and we give up the lead. If it was a blip, you know, I think that that's something we could maybe worry less about. But it's the fact that we're seeing the same pattern of mistakes happen four games on the spin that makes me worry that this is a slightly deeper problem than just a little blip.
See, I don't think there is a problem. We're creating enough chances to win games. We're having clear-cut chances to score goals. That hasn't changed over those four games. Right? We had chances to score against Everton. We had chances to score against Ipswich. And we had a lot of chances today. Jackson missed probably two chances. Palmer missed a chance. Josh missed a chance. Like, we're creating enough chances to put games to bed and we're not doing it.
So in that, is there not an issue?
Well, that's finishing. That's got nothing to do with tactics. It's got nothing to do with the manager. It's to do with the finishing and that's an issue, right? Normally it hasn't been an issue this season until the last few games. We're one of the highest scorers in the Premier League still, but the last four games we haven't been able to take our chances and yes, we're tiring in the second half. I think we are tiring in the second half, but I still think we're creating enough chances to win games and we're just not taking them. And that's frustrating, you know. And we're not keeping clean sheets either, which is frustrating. Obviously there is a problem, but I don't think it's kind of this big, deep problem that some people are going to panic and, you know, we played 8 league games in 35 days, and about 6 or 7 of the players have played in all of those games, as well. That doesn't help, but so yeah, people will panic, of course, and it is frustrating. We should have won today. Absolutely, 100% should have won. Rambles, you're here. Welcome. What are your thoughts on today?
Yeah, for me, the biggest thing I take away from the previous few games, I think our squad depth is really costing us. Obviously, Lavia, he was missing from the matchday squad again. We've no idea when he's going to be back. Now we've obviously heard the news that Fofana's possibly out for the rest of the season. And KDH and Cassidy and Carney clearly aren't trusted to play in Premier League games. So we're having to play Caicedo and Enzo 90 minutes every single game. We're now having to rotate options to play alongside Colwell to try and find a suitable partnership. And I think we do need to look at going into the market in January. I would look at bringing back Leslie from Southampton. I think it makes more sense to keep Santos on loan at Strasbourg. And I think Leslie's the kind of profile we could use later on in games or even earlier on in games.
Yeah, I think we're not able to bring on like a real proper defensive midfield player to midfield late on in games. And when you're like, if you could bring on Igor Tricru now with his height, his power, you know, obviously he'd be fresh, and then you've got, and he's, you know, he's got more energy, just adds a bit more steel to that midfield. You might not get caught like we're getting caught at the end of games. I think they need to bring him back.
And I think now the club seriously need to consider maybe bringing their summer transfer plans forward and maybe bringing in one or two players, because we are at risk of possibly falling out of the top four race.
Yeah, I think Jack Jackson has got no real competition, which is part of the problem. He's having to carry it all himself. And also there's no one pushing him, right? There's no one pushing him to perform because he's got that spot all to himself. Now, he should have had a couple of goals today, probably. I'm one of his biggest fans, but there's one chance at least where he absolutely should have scored. There's no question about it. We need some competition up there, and we definitely need another centre back. Although I thought Josh was good today, we'll talk about him later. Overall, it's just a very frustrating period, I haven't won in four games. You know,
I think also, I know we've obviously touched on this subject for many, many, many occasions, but I do think now, does the club need to turn the spotlight on the sporting directors? Have they done enough to leave us in a good position to definitely get top four, or have they left us short? You know, should we have loaned out all the players we did loan out? You know, now some of the decisions made are looking very questionable after the last four games.
Yeah,
like what though, Rambles? Like, because I don't know. I feel like we can't jump straight on the sporting directors, I think, because you know, a few weeks ago we were praising them for their exploits, and obviously with Chelsea sitting second in the league. Like, what if you're saying things need to be shone on and looked at? What are you thinking should be?
Well, I think like we've got Kieran Dewsbury-Hall, we've got Cassidy, and we've got Carney Chukwuemeka. They're three midfielders who could come on in games and bring fresh legs, but none of the three are clearly trusted in Premier League games. So why are we... Yes, everyone says, oh, Chelsea, you've got this amazing X amount of player squad that they're rotating for every European game. But there's clearly players who aren't trusted to make any impact in the league. And we're not in a position where we can be in that position. Because we're now... If we lose Caicedo or Enzo in the next couple of games for a period of time, we're going to be relatively... truly screwed, because we've got three players on the books who Enzo Maresca clearly doesn't trust in the Premier League.
I mean, that's a fair point. I mean, you know, we haven't seen Cassidy and Carney and Kieran on the bench, I think, in the Premier League, or certainly they haven't come on.
And the thing that really frustrates me is I look at someone like Curtis Jones at Liverpool, and I think if you'd said to people at the start of the season, is Curtis Jones really a better player than Kieran and Dewsbury-Hall, most people probably would have said no, but he's been trusted and he's been given a role and he's doing that role to a very good standard. I think Kieran and Dewsbury-Hall, he may not be everyone's favourite player or player people want within the squad, but whilst he's here, I think he can be used better and he can be used to our advantage.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think we could have kept Igor Tricru. I think we would have benefited from him. Lavia is not, you know, we're not reliable. He's been out for 5 weeks now, right? If we had Lavia today, you know, probably you bring him on with about 15 minutes to go and he helps shore it up in midfield, right? And that could be the difference between winning and drawing, right? Stuff like that. So, yeah, there is, I mean, like, I think the sporting directors deserve a lot of praise, but I'm not going to deny them any praise. But also, like, you want to balance that out with some criticism where it might be deserved, right? And, I mean, clearly with the centre-backs we bought, you know, Dizazi and Badia Shield, probably both need to be moved on in the next couple of windows. So that's a failure, isn't it? I mean, you can say that's a failure. But at the same time, Josh, I thought, was really good today. I don't think he did anything wrong. He didn't look out of place. He looked calm in possession. He looked good. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of conversation. We're in the January window now, so obviously there's going to be a lot of speculation. And fans are going to start demanding some changes. And maybe that's a question we need to talk about. Like, do we need to go into the market in January? And if so, who? And what profile? Well, Louis, what do you think about that?
I do think we need to go into the market. I think that there's definitely a need for a centre-back. As much as Josh played well today, I do think we need someone with experience and steel, because we cannot see out games at the minute, which is a massive issue. And we cannot capitalise. With not being able to capitalise as well, we've already said that our issue is finishing, and Nicholas Jackson doesn't really have any direct, blatant competition. We need some blatant competition up top. Obviously, that's going to mean probably, well, it will mean Christopher Nkunku being moved on. And it seems like he probably does have one foot out the door at the minute, considering he didn't come on today. Obviously, Mark Guy came on in his place instead. I think that's something to look at. And then obviously, I think the big one is, you know, shoring up that midfield. I think by the end of the, or by the middle of the second half, it was non-existent. Everyone was tired, and I'd like to say that we can rely on Romeo Lavia, but with his injury record so far, I think it's always worth having another body in there. Now, Leslie Ugochukwu was the obvious one to recall. There's also conversations about Andre Santos as well. Like, is he someone that should be brought back? I mean, look, like, that's, I think that's something we should say for, you know, probably towards the end of the show, with it being the January transfer window. I think we can maybe go for a bit longer and talk transfers, definitely. But Chelsea need to dip into the market to definitely shore up the top four now, I think. I think that's something we need to consider, because blatantly after 60, 70 minutes, the legs on the team are gone.
Yeah, I think having a break before the next Premier League game will help. We've got 10 days now to our next Premier League game. That's a good period to give all these players a bit of a break and a bit of a breather. None of them will play in the FA Cup game next week. I would hope. We shouldn't need them to win that game. So I would rest literally all of them. Give them a couple of days off to recharge mentally and physically, clear their heads a bit and get them back. And we're only playing 10 Premier League games in the next 3 months. Like January, February, March. We're playing 10 games. We've played 8 games in the last 30 days. It's 9 games now after today. 9 games in the next 3 months. We played 8 in the last month, basically. So it's a big difference. And Reece Day didn't even get on today, which I was surprised about. But so, okay. What about you, Rambles? Are you in the January market? What would you be doing? And who would you be bringing in?
Well, first of all, I would be trying to bring Leslie back if we can. I don't know whether we can or not. I've heard various reports. Some say we can, some say we can't. And I would also be looking at a centre-back and a striker, because I think they're the positions we're in desperate need of someone. At the moment, Jackson's clearly... he's struggling for form. He's not quite at his best. And Kunku's not an out-and-out striker. And if you believe what you read, he would like to be moved on. So maybe we can use the money from selling him to bring in the striker. And I would look at bringing in the centre-back. We desperately need someone who we can partner with next to Cole for the remainder of the season. Because I don't think Fofana's going to be back before the end of the season.
I agree. And do you have any names? Anyone in particular that you'd be looking at?
I mean, one name we have been linked with, and I think Juventus are also interested in him, is Antonio Silva. I know he is a younger defender, but I am struggling to think of someone older who would bring that experience. But I know Antonio Silva could potentially be available, and he has got huge potential. Ideally, I would like to bring in someone old, but I'm struggling to think of someone with centre backs who would bring that experience, who we could possibly get in January.
Mark Gahey, that's what I'd say anyway. But I've just seen as well, lads, Teams is in the request. I think we should we'd definitely bring her up. What do you think, Scott?
Nicholas Jackson's going to get it, isn't he?
I doubt he will. I'm sure Teams will behave herself.
I don't think he should take that. He wasn't the only one that missed chances today. You know, Cole Palmer missed chances. I mean, Cole Palmer gave the ball away for their goal.
He did. Yeah,
you know, that was not great from him. He had a good game generally, but that is just poor from him. Sloppy. And Josh missed a chance, I think. And there were, you know, we missed chances. Like, it's frustrating because, like, you know, and that penalty in the second half, I'm not even going to get into it. Standard of refereeing, honestly. Anyway, James, you're up here. Welcome. It's good to see you again. How are you doing?
How's it going? Sorry, I know it's been a while.
Yeah, where the bloody hell have you been?
You know what? Like, I'm not really on Spaces that much because just life has taken over. I thought I'd pay you guys a visit. I haven't been here for a while. And I know that people will say that I've only come here to be negative, but it's not true. I didn't watch the game, because I was out, but, I followed it and I don't think the pattern of the, performance is shocking. If anyone has followed or seen Chelsea over the last four games, I think it's pretty much a similar story. Late substitutions, not taking our chances. I didn't see what their goal was, but I'm guessing it was a penalty. Giving away giving the referee even the chance to give away penalties and stuff like that. It's just not good enough. I think, you know.
I mean, it wasn't a pen. It was the really sloppy tapping, mate.
Oh, was it? Sorry. Either way, like, I think the issue I have with the club right now is, I think none of this is surprising because I think we lacked real investment in areas that were so needed. Everyone knows how I feel about Sanchez, so I'm not going to go on about it. But I think, you know, central defence and up front is lacking real quality. I know that people were praising Nicholas Jackson at the beginning of the season, because I thought he scored like seven, I think he's on seven Premier League goals, but correct me if I'm wrong. But I've always been...
Nine Premier League goals and three assists in about 19 games, I think.
Okay, so nine Premier League goals. But I've always had the belief that he needs help. Whether Jackson thinks he needs help and whether he does is two different things. But I just didn't think we had enough quality in that area. And I did think it would bite us because although you could argue in some aspects Nicholas Jackson has improved, sometimes you need a different type of striker in different situations. And he may be in poor form, which I don't necessarily believe he's in poor form, but I just think you just need a different type of striker. And I think it's disappointing that the club didn't really address that properly in the summer. And if you don't believe Gui is the, answer, then you either let him go on loan and bring someone else in. Or for me, like, yeah, you just got to do that. Or you play the kid, because the situation we have now is we can't really continue going the way that we are. And in terms of central defence, I just think that it lacked a lot of quality anyway in the summer. I never really truly was behind the signing of Tosin, even on a free, because I just don't think he had the necessary qualities we needed. And I don't know, it's just all very frustrating. And I think earlier on in this season, you saw the sporting directors patting themselves on the back, talking about how amazing the summer the signings have been and what their visions are for the club. But that's easy to do when Chelsea are winning game after game or having impressive performances. But where is any of these articles when Chelsea aren't doing well? And I think if they really think that they should have a quiet window in terms of January, I think they need to have a long, hard look in the mirror, because we can't go on, particularly with Fofana being out for probably the rest of the season. There's that central defence lacks real quality and leadership. And I think it just really needs to be addressed. If you don't want to slip into a battle for Champions League football, which I think we slowly are. I'm worried about City. I'm worried about Newcastle. Nottingham Forest are doing well. And it's going to become a real dogfight if Chelsea are not very careful and not address the slides soon. Yeah, that was my rant over.
No, I don't disagree with a lot of that. I've made pretty clear on Twitter and in articles that I've been writing recently that we need to sign a centre back this window. That is not up for debate for me. And we need, to me, and I think Louis agrees with me on this, we need someone with leadership qualities, we need someone with Premier League experience. And I think we played, I think Mark Guey is that guy. Like, he's not the most talented player that we could probably get, but it's not just talent we need right now. We need leadership. We need some experience. We need someone who's, you know, who's done it in the Premier League, someone who's going to be a calm head, you know, not going to make stupid mistakes near the end of games, you know, and he's got the right mentality and we can get him. He's gettable. He's not, you know, and I mean, it doesn't have to be him, but I think he'd be a really good option for us. And I think Louis agrees with me, don't you, Louis?
Yeah, everything Score said. I agree. I've just had a brainwave, though, in regards to what I think Mark Guey would be if we signed him. He strikes me as a Gary Cahill from Bolton sort of signing. You know, not the sexiest shout when he comes through, but will prove his quality as the years go on.
I mean, for me, I'm not sure about Guey. I don't know. I'm not entirely convinced. However, he's better than what we have. And that's the truth. Like, he's better than what we have. But I just think we need I don't even think we need a Gary Cahill. We need a Rudiger-type signing. We need somebody who's an aggressive right-sided centre-back. I don't know who that is. I don't necessarily have names, so I know that this isn't helpful, me identifying problems and not solutions. But I just think we need someone a bit more aggressive in that too. And if, like, a Rudiger on the right side of that defence, and I don't know who that is. But I wouldn't be surprised if we don't buy anybody in the January. I think that everything coming out of the club suggests that they are concentrating on outgoings. And this is despite knowing the stuff that they do about Fofana. It's just all very frustrating. And Maresca needs to find a solution quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think, like, if we don't do anything in January, and then we don't make top four, that's not on Maresca, that's on the sporting directors.
Yeah.
100%. Because that's their job, you know, and it's been reported that Maresca wants us to sign a centre-back, and he wants us to sign a striker, right? And, you know, we know that last season the sporting directors didn't back Pochettino at all in any window. And, you know, they can't, and I think Maresca's done enough to earn some backing. He's got us higher than a lot of people said he would get us at this point. We, you know, we're still fourth in the Premier League. And he had a second not so long ago. You've got to back him. You've got to back him. If he's the guy that you're giving a 5-year contract to, you've got to back him. You can't just back him a 5-year contract and then not give him what he needs to do his job. He can do so much with the tools that he has.
The other thing I would say to Score is he also needs to stop saying, oh, no one expects us to be where we are. Because that sends a signal to me, if I'm a young player, oh, it's okay that we're not doing well because no one expected us to be where we are. It's like, no, yeah, you are right. But also, you said that for 3 games now. I don't know what he's going to say after this game. You said that for 3 games. It's enough. We get it. But it doesn't negate the fact that the team and you have been poor for 4 games in a row now. Like, you can't use that as an excuse. I would quite like him to take a little bit more responsibility because he's made some really, really poor decisions in, over this festive period. And it's cost us a lot of points. And he just needs to find a solution. If he doesn't get what he wants, what does that suggest about the sporting directors and ownership? Are they just happy to be flirting with Champions League football and not really pushing on? I thought that I thought, yeah, at the beginning, I don't know, like, I think sometimes they rest on their laurels a bit too much and don't see the bigger picture in terms of how to really balance a squad for the whole season. And I think that was a problem under Poch, and I think it's going to be a problem under Maresca.
The problem with sporting directors, we have with those sporting directors, is that none of them have ever worked at a big club. They don't know how to build a team that is successful and wins things. I don't know, that's the intent, but I just think they just don't, like, you know, they don't know what they're doing, but like, they don't, yeah, they're just making some bad decisions, and they need to, and they're too obsessed with their own self-importance to accept any criticism, and there is going to be criticism. I'm sure we'll win next week in the FA Cup. That's not even a debate for me. I think we'll win that comfortably, but it's the next league game. That's at home. And the crowd's going to be restless if we don't win.
To play devil's advocate to that, though, I understand where everyone's coming from, right? But the big thing which was discussed, and all of us have openly discussed it together on Spaces, if we've been in this one or we've been speaking to other people as well, we just wanted consistent progress, right? And looking at the numbers, after 19 games, at the halfway point, Chelsea was sat on 35 points before today, right? If they do the same again in the second half of the season, you're looking at a 70-point season where, aside from two seasons in the last six or seven, that puts you in the top four. If it doesn't put you in the top four, it puts you in fifth. With how English teams performing in Europe this season, where we might be seeing a fifth Champions League spot come across to England, if Chelsea do ascertain Champions League football, if Chelsea do get what we're expecting them to, which, by the way, would mean that we'd have actually improved, are we being too harsh? Are they maybe just wanting to look at it? Like, do we not feel that they're maybe not resting on their laurels, but they have seen enough progress to maybe see Chelsea proceed and do what we all want them to, which is just continuously improve, and as part of that, get Champions League football?
The problem that you're having there, Louis, is that it's like, if we do these things, if we do that, that's not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed that we're going to get another 35 points, finish on 70 and finish top five and even get the fifth place. I know that the statistics are suggesting that England will, but we shouldn't be relying on that. Chelsea, if you look at the season as a whole, if someone told you that going into the second half of the season, Tottenham and Manchester United will be bottom half of the table, you would expect then Chelsea to be comfortably in the top four. Circumstances change, and I think targets change as the season progresses, depending on the circumstances. And the circumstances that we're facing is, yeah, you can say that we've had some consistency, but we're now in a blip. Well, I don't even think it's a blip. We're now in a very, very difficult situation. And let's be honest, some of the games earlier on, even the games that we won or we haven't lost, weren't great performances either. The signs have been there that there might be a lack of consistency. And I think you are rolling the dice massively if by the time the January transfer window closes, we haven't made any sign-ins. That means that you're suggesting, okay, that we have enough. But we have big, big injuries in key positions that I don't think can be underestimated. So right now, the ownership, the sporting directors have a decision to make. And it's either you are confident that what you have is going to be enough to see you through the rest of the season, which, judging on the last four games, it's not going to be. Or you try and push and try and add real quality in positions that we need. I mean, that's also not guaranteed to make a real difference because, as we all know, coming into a club midway through the season, settling in and maybe potentially getting used to a new league doesn't always go according to plan. But they have to try something. And I don't think they have enough credit in the bank to think to themselves, in all indicators, this looks like it's going well. Because quite frankly, let's be honest, it could also turn very toxic very quickly because they don't have the right credit in the bank. And the anger of the fans will not be directed at Maresca. It is going to go further up the chain. And that is a risk that they are going to have to think about whether that's worth taking. Yeah.
I think that you're right. You're right. This time, I don't think the fans will blame Maresca. I mean, yeah, Maresca made a big effort to connect with the fans, honestly. And more than Pochettino did, much more. And, you know, like, until a couple of weeks ago, we were doing really well. And, you know, we've had some great results this season. We've done better than a lot of people expected. So I don't think, and Maresca's only been here for 6 months, you know, so I don't think he's going to get the, I think the, because this has happened before under a different manager, the sporting directors are going to get, a lot of the stick. And they built the squad. Maresca didn't build the squad, right? It's not Maresca's squad. Like, the manager doesn't make player decisions at this club. The sporting directors do. And they basically bought the entire squad. Pretty much. And so, yeah, they have to bear responsibility. And if, you know, if they come out in January and they make a couple of signings, bring back Igwechukwu as well, you know, and they actually show that they want to get Champions League football this season, they're willing to invest to do it, well, then fair play to them. Then it's up to Maresca. But if they don't back him this window and they just say, I'll just go on with what you have, then, well, you know, especially when now fans are crying out for transfers as well, you know, who's going to get, they're going to get a lot of stick. And, you know, they've been in charge, well, was it by the end of this season, it'll be 2.5 years. You know, there's got to be some, I mean, we have improved. I think that's important to note. I don't want to be all negative because we have improved. I'm certainly not one of those people who's going to be always negative. We have improved, but there's things they need to address, which they need to address urgently. And some need to be addressed in January, some need to be addressed in the summer. That's on them to make that decision. And hopefully they listen to Maresca when Maresca says what he needs. That's all on that. That's quite frustrating. Let's try and look at some positive aspects of today. Like, I think
we've also got, by the way, a lot of requests in here score today, which is
great. Have we? This is good. I was just going to ask for requests.
I'm going to let you go, guys, but it's lovely to speak to you.
You better come back sooner, mate. I'll be fucking looking for you.
Come back sooner. Yeah,
come back again.
Yeah, I'll come back when Chelsea win. How about that?
Yeah, that's sweet. I also should just say, make sure everyone, you give the Chelsea Echo Twitter account a follow. There's loads of great content on there. You know, there's, podcasts and other content. Give it a follow. Well worth your time. Make sure you give that a follow. So, right now, we've got some people coming up, have we, Louis?
We have. So we've got Oth, who's pretty much been requesting since the start of the show. So I will bring him in now.
Okay, here we go.
Oth is in.
Perfect.
Unmute yourself, mate. Let's go. Come on.
Come on, Off.
Hello.
Yay!
Hello. Hi. Hey, sorry, mate. Sorry. How are you? I hope you guys are doing well. The game was very disappointing. Like, it ruined my weekend, to be honest. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I heard the commentary saying we had one shot on target around the 70th minute or the 80th minute. And that's really, really poor. And frankly, Palmer's been a star since he came in last season. That's not a doubt. But besides the goal today, I think he was very, very poor. I don't know, maybe he's tired, he needs a break, but he was very poor. It's not just about losing the ball when they scored the goal. I think he wasn't good today. Besides the goal, a great goal, but he wasn't good. He was losing a lot of balls. He looked slow, he looked tired. And I think Maresca has been very slow in making changes. I think I was very shocked. The game that we lost against Fulham, I think he doesn't make changes quick enough for the 70th minute and everybody's tired. He doesn't make changes. It's very slow. Very slow. And I think we have any positive period we had early in the season. Unfortunately, it's gone. 4 games now, I think 2 points in 4 games, a point against Everton and a point today. And then losing to Ipswich, it's very, very poor. Very bad period. And I think we always mess up during this time of the year. And I don't know where he goes from here. And then we have injuries as well. I heard someone saying Fofana's out, probably out for the season. Then it's gonna be very difficult. I don't know. I don't agree with the fact that it's a problem from the sporting directors, because, like Louis said earlier, or someone I think said just a month ago, we were very happy with them. Everything was great. And now we have injuries. Lavi is out. Fofana's out. Rhys James, no comment. Everybody's out. And God forbid something happens to Caicedo or Enzo or anything like that. And then we will really struggle. So I think they need to recall some loans, Santos maybe, or Leslie. And the Argentinian defender, I think he got recalled, but I think he's injured. You guys can confirm that. But we have injuries now, and it's not good. It's really not good. Very disappointing today.
Yeah, some good points there. It's very frustrating. It's very, very frustrating. And one of that's my one criticism of Oresca is the substitutions. I don't know why.
Right, yeah.
Substitutions, yeah. Because, like, until about four games ago, he was making substitutions.
Yeah.
Like regularly, pretty early in games.
Yeah.
And he's just suddenly stopped doing it. And I don't understand why. It's,
and you know, we were happy with the big squad. Everybody's saying Chelsea has a good squad. And yes, we have a good squad, but a good squad when everybody's fit. I think the last time when we had the full squad was against Arsenal, when even James was fit during that game. After that, we don't have a fit squad. We can rave about we have two great teams. We can do whatever. But what's the point when everybody's injured? Everybody's injured and people are getting tired. Players are physically tired. You can tell they're tired. Caicedo looks tired. Palmer looks really tired. Even his face. I think he crumbles after every game. He's very tired, and then he doesn't make changes. Noni Madueke, very disappointing. He started great this season, but disappeared. He came on, I think he had one touch. You guys, we can confirm that after. I think he had one touch, and it was a header back to, I think, Cucurella. So even when he makes changes, they're late. They're very late. Felix, he wasn't good against Ipswich, yes, but at least bring him on today. I don't know if he was on the bench or not. I didn't check the bench, to be honest. But he should have come on. Palmer looks tired. We can keep him on the pitch. Yes, he has the final pass and stuff like that. But he was exhausted. But the positive is Josh was good. He looked really good. I was worried for him, to be honest, against Mateta. I was very worried for him, but to be honest, he did really good. And everybody's injured. So what do you think? I don't know where we go from here.
It's a tough one. I think my biggest worry is what you said about Palmer and the injuries. I absolutely agree with you on that. And how tired he looks.
Yeah.
The more you look at him, the more you worry. He's still delivering, which speaks volumes of the quality which he brings to this Chelsea team. However, the fact that he isn't really someone which I think is fair to shoulder and in the entire burden, and I don't think it's really fair to look at him. And if he goes and he doesn't perform, in which some days he hasn't, people start panicking. We need to be able to rely on the rest of the team as well. Which, you know, as we're saying, beginning of the season, it looked like everyone was someone you could look to. You know, there was goals coming from everywhere, and Chelsea are still scoring a lot of goals. But without a doubt, there's a lot of reliance on Cole Palmer. And you know, I mean, the substitutions are a big thing. I mean, there's the tweet, obviously, in the Jumbotron, for those of you that haven't seen it, obviously, if you don't follow the Chelsea account, why don't you? In terms of substitutions in the last five games, Enzo Maresca has not made that many at all. He made one in the Brentford game, two against Everton. He made the big four, obviously, against Ipswich. And he made, hang on, I've lost it, it's gone. I'm going to mind. And he made one against Fulham, two against Palace. You know, the numbers speak for themselves. We look at those four substitutes, that's because we were chasing the game. You know, it's very worrying that, you know, he's not making those changes and these players are getting more and more tired. I don't know what you think, Scott.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've had five players who've not been available for that last month in December who probably would have played. You know, Lavia, Fofana, Rhys James, Mudrick, and who's the other one? There's another one that's been out. I think Rhys James, Fofana, Lavia, Mudrick, and Badiashile. That's the one. So those five haven't been available, and I think they would have all got legitimate minutes and even starts in December if they'd all been available.
I mean, I was actually going to mention Palmer before, and I'm a bit worried.
The problem with Palmer has played one game a week for his entire time at Chelsea.
It's too much. We're running the risk of, God forbid, something happens to him. He's a great player. He's the star of the team. He needs a break. He looked so exhausted. I watched it on TV. Whenever the camera on him, he looks tired. The guy needs some sleep. Like, he's so exhausted.
He's played eight games in the last 35 days, and I think he's played 90 minutes in most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we've played some physical teams in those games as well. I think he's a bit tired. He needs a break. He won't play next week in the FA Cup. No, won't even be in the squad. Does he play against, do you start him against Bournemouth, or do you start Nkunku in that role and rest him and bring him off the bench if needed? That's the question. We've got loads of people requesting those.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Have a good night. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, take care, buddy.
Also, just quick, make sure you catch the voice note review. Louis will be doing that. That'll be available later on this evening. Nice 3-minute review of the game. All good fun. Well, not at the moment, maybe, but it's always good. Always good. Right. Okay. We've got more callers. Louis.
Yeah. We've got Gabby coming up now, who's been sat requesting. I can see everyone in the requests. So guys, if you want to chat with us, obviously, you know, please be patient. You know, we are going to get you all in. But you know, you just got to wait so we can get you through. But Gabby is now in the speaker. So, Matt, if you want to unmute yourself, let us know what you think about the game.
Welcome, Gabby.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm in Ghana. So I kept tabs on the game. And I just want to pass my few thoughts on the display against Crystal Palace. I mean, I think you guys have spoken at length. Several of the pointers that I want to put out there has been mentioned, though. But I'm a bit worried with some of the things that has run through in the last four games. So against Everton, against Fulham, against Ipswich and now Crystal Palace. Like what one of your colleagues said about Mahrez cannot turn into the bench. It feels as if he doesn't trust the players he's got on the bench, though. Because at a point, we're talking about the fact that we had a very big squad. And that Maresca could look at the bench and throw anybody on. And I think in the past games that we won, I think I remember Wolves' example. He brought on João Felix and he paid off. And he's made some substitutions that has paid off in the few games that we played. That took us to second on the table. But in the last couple of games, I don't know what's come over him. And it's really disturbing. The second thing I want to touch on is Nicholas Jackson. Look, I think he's done exceptionally well this season compared to last season. He had a lot of stake last season for what kind of player he was, whether he was a striker, very comfortable on the right, or playing through the middle, or playing on the left. But clearly this season, Maresca came in and he put him as the main man up front. But I think he needs competition. And, well, I don't see Nkunku and Magri giving him that competition, because if we want to be competing against Liverpool, against Manchester City and the others, I think we need some sort of a striker that would have that bullish character like Diego Costa or some sort. Jackson is not that man for me, and I think that should be looked into going forward in the previous season. If we really want to compete for the title, I mean, this season is just first of all, a lot of these players, and for the coach himself, you're going to have them display a bit of naiveness in a couple of some of the games that we'll play. The coach himself will do that. And that's clearly a learning curve for Maresca and this couple of players. But look, the signs are worrying in the last four games. And I was thinking that on that run we went prior to the slumping form in December and now, we'll have been maybe cemented our spots on the second spot. I didn't see this dip in form coming though. But I mean, we'll pick up some good form going to the subsequent games. But like I said, if you ask me my assessment, if the league is going to end, if it has ended now, it means that we get to finish fourth. And that's an improvement on the previous season where we finished somewhere on seventh and competing in the conference league or that sort. But I think this team needs a lot of improvement. And one thing that I would like to highlight also is Joshua Champon. I think he's very composed, and that's another player we can also look up to going forward in what he gives us at the back line. But I mean, that's not too good of a performance for him. Then, I think that they mentioned about, you guys spoke about Cole Palmer as well. Man looks exhausted, bro. He looks very, very exhausted. And he needs those games that I think if he's performing or he has performed, he's done performing on the pitch, he needs to be yanked off and brought on and bring in some more players that are really good. So I think Maresca needs to look at these four games that we've played and do the right things for the rest of the games. Yeah.
Thank you, Gary. Really appreciate you coming up and sharing. Thanks for coming up. We've got more people to come. Lurie, who's next?
Indeed. We've got Clone Victor coming up next.
Clone Victor. We'll get to the Rambles rant and Rambles rave soon.
Oh, so yeah, be ready, Rambles. Victor's up now, so if you'd like to unmute yourself, please, and you can get involved, mate. Go in once. Go in twice. Go in three times. No, okay. No worries at all. Dan Child is in here as well, so I'm going to get him up, obviously, as the regular co-host of the...
Yeah, absolutely.
And as soon as I've done that, he's run away. He saw that I saw him.
Rambles. Real Rambles. I take it it's a rant today.
I'm actually going to surprise you and do a rave.
Oh, go on then. Yeah, absolutely.
I thought I'd try and bring a bit of positivity during a dark moment.
Yeah, I think I know what this is. Go on.
Josh Achimpong.
Yeah.
Really impressive, you know. Obviously, we haven't seen too much of him, but, you know, in the limited time we have seen him, he just looks like a real prospect. And hopefully now he's won the trust of Maresca and we can see him be given more minutes. Because I think the talent's there and he's got potential to be a huge player for us.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he looked right at home today. I thought he was really, really good. Calm on the ball. Didn't look flustered. Didn't look out of place. I thought he was really good today. For his Premier League debut, 18 years old. Yeah, I was really pleased with him today. And, fair play to, it's a big day for him and his family and obviously for Cobham as well to have him make his Premier League debut. So well done to him.
I know he didn't play in his natural position as right back, but over the last few years, we've produced some incredible right backs. We've got Olerena, he's at Forest. We've got Liberamento. We've got Achimpong, Reece James.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, we seem to keep producing players on that side, don't we? We don't often produce players on the left-hand side.
Yeah, that's the next challenge.
Lewis Hall's the only one. That's it. Fair play. I think that is a positive from today. His debut and his performance. I thought he wasn't to blame for the goal. No credit, no blame to him for the goal. Didn't really make any mistakes to me. I thought he was good today. And I would pick him against Bournemouth, 100%. I'd add to that. I thought Levi Cole had a good game today. Apart from maybe the goal, but generally I thought he'd had a really good game today. Made some really important stops. He was in a better, he's in his best position, which is more of the centre back than the left centre back. I thought he was good today. A lot of authority, passed the ball well, defended pretty well. But unfortunately that won't get talked about now because we've not won the game. But good, Good rambles, Rave. That's a good, it's a nice little positive. You think, what did you think of Josh today, Louis?
I was thoroughly impressed with him. I liked how progressive he was. I liked how he was really brave with his passing. I liked also how he kept it simple in moments. You know, there wasn't a need for him to necessarily try and play the ball into traffic or play out. If he thought the defence was in trouble, he made the most out of the situation and sometimes would just boot it clear. Defensively, quite resolute. I didn't really think there was much trouble down that side. It was a fairly accomplished debut for somebody of such a young age. And, you know, I was very worried initially that with him coming in at the right centre-back spot, I thought that maybe, you know, that would be a place where he was under significantly more pressure than he would have been playing at right-back, which is where me and Dan placed him in the preview. We thought that maybe he should have started ahead of Mal Augusto, and I kind of maintain that. I did think Mal Augusto was quite poor again today. But, you know, overall, an accomplished debut. Not enough to not delve into the market and pick up a centre-back, I feel, but definitely somebody who is one to watch and to keep around the squad and continue to improve for the future.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with that assessment completely.
I was going to ask you guys a question that I asked someone during the game. Could possibly in games now, we've got a few centre-backs missing, could we maybe see a back three and Reece James playing right centre-back, a back three? Could that be a way to go in certain games?
Needs to be, I think. I can't see him playing right back anymore. Not without losing his leg. I think him playing as part of the centre backs or playing maybe in that defensive midfield role, I think is.
I agree with you, Louis. I saw him play right centre back under Thomas Tuchel, and against Real Madrid, and he was one of our best players that day. He was excellent, you know. And that's post-injury as well, remember? Although post-injury with Reece James is a bit of a strange comment. So he can play that position 100%. And I would be happy to see him play that position if that's what Maresca wants to do. He's good for that right centre-back, right-slash-right-back position because he can come a little bit forward without bombing forward like a proper right back and overexerting himself, and also play that right centre back role. And his passing as well is, you know, still very, very good. And, you know, the cross field passing and stuff that he can do. I really hope that he stays fit for the rest of the season. I know that's probably, up in the sky, pigs might fly, you know, dreaming, but I hope he does, because I think if he was on the pitch regularly, people talk about experience. He's got a fair bit of experience now as a player. Like he's 24. He's been at Chelsea he's been in the first team for, you know, 5 years, 6 years nearly, right? And I know he's not played all that, but he's been around. He's played a fair bit. So he's got more experience than a lot of our players. Having someone like that in the team might help. It might help. So, yeah, I wish Reece James well. I think we all do. I think we all would love to have him back involved again, and it would be a big boost if he could come back and play really well and stay fit. But I'm not counting my chickens on that. I don't think anyone is. So, right, do we have anyone else requesting, Louis?
We have got Martins in the requests right now, so I'll bring him up right now. Martins, as you do come in quite regularly, we'll say this. You're not going to go on a 10-minute rant today. Keep it short, keep it concise, please, mate.
Yeah, and Louis, we'll definitely chuck you out if you don't. So.
Yeah, I will. He's just joining now, should be coming in. Right, he's in now, in the speakers. Martin, floor is yours. Remember, concise.
Hello, yeah. Thank you very much for letting me in. I just wanted to address the ideas of the new club owners. When they were making a lot of youthful signings, I was worried that if we keep going this way, we are not going to compete. And I know I've said this on this very space for some time now. I've been privileged to watch the EPL for close to 26 years now, and I can I can boldly tell you that youth wouldn't make you competitive. Youth wouldn't make you win. You wouldn't win with our young players. Yeah, they're going to give you the speed and the agility that you need to start up the race. Very good. But when fatigue sets in, when it's this time of the season, you need experience. This is where experience gets you beyond the finish line. Sincerely speaking, I was so worried when Chelsea didn't get a top man, when Chelsea didn't get a DM, an experienced DM, and when Chelsea didn't get an experienced and a centre back that knows what it takes to win. A few weeks ago, I said this: Nicholas Jackson is good. I want him to develop, but if we want to compete, if we want to finish in the top four consistently in the next 1-2 seasons, we need an experienced striker. I don't know what their deal with Osimhen was that made it not to go through. But if the team wants to compete, they need to go back and close that deal.
You say Victor Osimhen, I'm kicking you out. We've had this conversation so many times. Don't say Victor
Osimhen. Yes, I will still stick to it because I'm an experienced football fan. Listen, let me say this once again. With the injury record of Rhys James, Lavia, and Fofana, I tell you the truth. We cannot rely on them. We're not going to compete. We need solid, experienced guys in attack, top nine, DM, and center back. If you don't have this, you're not going to compete. Remember, Arsene Wenger tried this philosophy of using youth players. Arsene Wenger, as experienced as he was, failed in Arsenal using youth players. And then we're talking of Maresca that doesn't even have Premier League experience, and we're giving him youth players. So crying out loud, you cannot have an inexperienced coach coaching inexperienced players. You're going to fail. When Andres Villas-Boas was sacked, Chelsea appointed Roberto Di Matteo. Roberto Di Matteo had no experience, but Chelsea had leaders in the team. We had Drogba, we had John Terry, we had Frank Lampard, we had Ashley Cole. These guys were experienced. And they took the team beyond the finish line, won the FA Cup and the Champions League. This is what experience gets you in the game.
I'm telling you. Martins. You're comparing apples with bananas.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're comparing apples with bananas. It's a completely different sort of methodology that they're approaching. I get what you're saying.
The youth methodology is not going to work.
Martins, if you don't stop talking, I'll get you out. Right.
Go ahead. I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's apples and bananas. I think realistically, with how this is going, there's no point in talking about signing certain players who are completely out of the bracket. You know, we're all experienced football fans here, right? But really, we're also experienced in life. They're not going to go for somebody who's completely out of the pay bracket, who doesn't want to do it again, on Victor Osimhen, okay? I'm not going to continue on that point again, because every time you come up, you have the same conversation and it's completely pointless, okay? Okay. If you want to have a conversation with us, we're willing to have a conversation. We want to have a conversation with you, but you need to actually... No, once you've said your piece and you want to talk, you need to be able to have a debate, not just keep cutting each other off. We're not here for that.
Absolutely. Well said, Louis. Right, yeah, there's been some comments from Enzo Maresca, which I think are really interesting. He said that Josh was man of the match. He thinks he was speaking very, very highly of him. He was saying that Josh was the best player. He can be a top player for this club. We decided today because we saw he was ready. Today he showed how good he is. That's what he said about Josh. So that's pretty positive. I think we'd agree with that. And then he said something very telling. He said with Benoit and Wesley's injury, we will see if something can happen, as in the market, right? So I think there could be something happening in the market. Let's hope there is. I think Maresca definitely wants something to happen, which is good, because he recognises the issue like we do. And let's hope the sporting directors listen to him. So yeah, so it's quite positive. Maresca thought we were the best team today, and we probably should have won, which I agree with. Jaden Sanchez had some comments to that as well. Just basically saying, like, they're frustrated. They didn't kill off the game. They should have killed off the game, and that's a lesson they've got to learn. So some humility there. Hopefully we do learn this lesson. We've got to kill off games, because it gets very, very frustrating when you don't kill off a game and then the opposition get a goal. So yeah, there's some nice little comments there. What do you think about Maresca's comments on Josh and also on transfers as well? Ramble, you go first.
Yeah, it does sound like we'll be looking at potential centre-backs. If there's a good opportunity, hopefully they will look to pull the trigger and bring someone in. And now with Josh's performance, hopefully he'll be trusted more going into the second half of the season. Yeah. He certainly earns it from today's performance.
Yeah, I think so. And judging by what Maresca's saying, I think he's forced his way into the first choice 11 based on today. And that's a really big positive. I mean, he's clearly now ahead of De Zarzi and even, you know, Badia she was injured, but he's ahead of De Zarzi in the pecking order, rightly so. and that's positive, you know. I mean, I actually respect Maresca for giving him a chance today, because it's a big call, you know, when you haven't won in three games to bring an 18-year-old into the team, no matter how good they are. So fair play to him having the balls to do that. Although I know we didn't win the game, but I think it paid off in terms of the performance. I think he's shown that he's ready for this level. And I think he'll get a lot more games between now and the end of the season, but I still think we need a centre back. And I think Maresca does too. So yeah, all that part of it is quite positive from today, but there are frustrations. Now, like, one question I think that is very interesting that people are asking at the moment, obviously with Nicholas Jackson, you know, not scoring for a while and missing chances, like, is the striker thing is something we need to address now, or do we need to wait till the summer? Because we're not going to get Liam Delap now, on a permanent. We're not going to be able to get him at all now. But for example, and this is just an example, I'm not saying I want him or anything, like Evan Ferguson, you know, big, powerful centre forward, good in the air, tall, he's available on loan, right? Now, like, he's like the alternative you can bring off the bench for Jackson, right? He's a different profile of striker. He's powerful, he's a menace. It's difficult for defenders. You know, would you do that deal for 6 months and then get your actual choice, first choice striker in the summer? Or would you just leave it?
If Evan Ferguson's the example, then no, I wouldn't do it, because I think you're just replacing the same problem with another problem. And we've already got a young centre-forward that we could use in Mark Giroud. Now, obviously, I know he's probably not the same calibre as Evan Ferguson, but Evan Ferguson has not really performed for quite a while now. And he's not somebody who I look at as someone who's going to come in and categorically change the team. I think if you're going to be making signings now, they have to be signings that make an instant impact. You know, that's what January's for. You know, that is for tweaking your season to really bring someone in and make a big difference. Now, I don't have an answer. I really don't. I don't know who's out there that would come in and instantaneously improve this Chelsea team and take them to another level. It's not something which we can categorically say there's a case for at the moment, really. Because I think that also comes with the price, and that comes with having that experience as well. I think it's going to be an either or window. It's either you get yourself a centre back or you get yourself a striker. I think, realistically, Chelsea are scoring goals. They've got one of the highest scoring records in the league. They have missed the most chances, which is definitely something to consider and look at. Chelsea need to find somebody who is an answer to help with that situation. It's not Evan Ferguson. It's not another young striker. You're looking at somebody who can come in and make a difference straight away. If someone's got a name, whack it in the comments. Definitely something to discuss. Or you go in and get yourself Mark Gahey, like we were talking about, in terms of getting the centre-backs. I don't think Chelsea will get both, but you can't get a striker which is good for the future when Chelsea are chasing top four right now.
That's true. It's a good argument.
I mean, I've got two striker names. which come to mind, but I know they'll cause debate and people will argue, well, we didn't get something. But the ones which come to mind are Gyökeres and Osimhen, but I don't know how realistic they are in January. And then there's also the argument Osimhen didn't want to come in the summer, blah, blah, blah. But they're probably the most realistic of the experienced names we could potentially get.
Yeah, I don't think we would sign one of them and then sign a centre-back, as Louis said. I mean, that's a bigger question. Like, in the summer, what kind of striker do we go for? Do we go for Leon Delap or do we go for Guy Harris? You know?
Personally, I would go for someone with a bit more experience. I think this squad needs experience. You know, Gyökeres and Osimhen have got the experience and Jackson can learn from them. As much as I wouldn't be disappointed if we signed Delap, but I do think we need someone that little bit older.
Interesting. Interesting. What about you, Lee? What's your thoughts on that? For the summer rather than now?
For the summer, I think Gyökeres is a far more effective option. I'm not hearing Victor Osimhen ever again. Anyone who says Victor Osimhen in here, you know, you can say you're an experienced football fan, but you know, it is the most ridiculous comment because Chelsea are not going to go and sign somebody who quite evidently didn't want to be here in the summer because of, you know, fees that just weren't available. And, you know, wasted everybody's time. You know, we did a whole hour and a half on him on transfer deadline day, and I never want to talk about him again.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair. I kind of agree with you on that, to be honest. And I don't think he was the right fit anyway, in terms of the profile.
It's the whole carry the bricks conversation, right? He didn't want to carry the bricks. You know, he wanted to be the main man. Sorry, mate, but, you know, evidently, you weren't going to be the main man. Granted, everyone has a price, everyone has a value. If it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. Sorry, like, end of conversation. There's no more to say about it. And I'm not going to hear his name in here ever again. If someone says it, I'm just cutting it off. I can't be arsed with it. But I think, look, Victor Gyökeres is... I thought he might have been a similar cloth to Ricky van Wolfswinkel with one really good season for Sporting Lisbon and then wasn't too sure. But, you know, he's continued that form. He's been absolutely inspiring over the past 6 months as well. He's been somebody who I think can make a difference. He's got experience in English football at a more physical level as well in terms of the Championship. I think the physicality is, you know, far stronger in the Championship than it is in the Premier League. But then he's obviously honed his technical prowess in Portugal. Look, I'm all for it, but he's not going to be someone that we're going to get in January. Well, he is someone we could get in January, but you're looking at 100 million quid probably. And, you know, is that something which Chelsea are going to want to spend or can they spend without, you know, significant outlay?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, it depends. I mean, like I don't think they've decided on their striker this for the summer yet because they were waiting to see how Jackson did, which is fair. I mean, I like that they backed him. And to be fair, he's got 9 goals in whatever it is, 18 Premier League games. But the question they've got to answer is he going to be our number one striker, right? And that's not been answered yet. I mean, I rate him. I like Jackson, right? I'm always going to defend him to the end. But that's not a question it's not my job to answer that question. It's a sporting director's job. I think Gyökeres, I mean, he got a hat-trick the other day, didn't he? In his first game of 2025, he got a hat-trick.
Hat-trick in 60 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, if only he had a player that could do that, apart from Cole Palmer, because Cole Palmer's done it. But, so we'll see about that in the summer. I don't think we'll tackle that in January, personally. I think we've got to stop leaking goals as well, because... Yeah, you know, the centre back thing is a thing because if we don't concede a goal today, we win. If we keep a clean sheet today, we win. You know, I hate to say it, even if you score just one goal in a game, if you keep a clean sheet, you win. So, you know, and I still think we'll get back to scoring more goals because we were scoring goals quite. I mean, we're the joint third highest scorers in the Premier League. We've got 39 Premier League goals already. You know, and that's more than we. By the way, that's more than we got in the entire Premier League season a couple of seasons ago, which is still a funny stat. But yeah, so we'll see what happens. I think there's going to be some we'll probably get some rumours and stuff come out in the next week. We've got the FA Cup game next weekend. That's on Saturday. I'm sure there'll be some speculation before then about potential transfers, or if we're not getting any, that'll come out as well. And then we've got the next Premier League game is a week on Tuesday against Bournemouth at Stamford Bridge. And I think actually going back to Stamford Bridge might be a good thing. We've not played at Stamford Bridge for a few games. Might be good to get back and have the home crowd there, and hopefully they'll get behind them, and hopefully we can get a win against Bournemouth. That's not going to be easy either, because they're doing pretty well right now. So we're going to have to play well in that game. Yeah, so your final thoughts on today, and one thought about the window. Rambles.
Yeah, hopefully today is the wake-up call for the board, and we do look at bringing in that centre-back, because today was evidently clear what we do need. And as you say, we are leaking goals, and hopefully they can bring forward one of their summer centre-back targets and get them over the line this window. That's really the area we need strengthening the most, and hopefully we can look at maybe bringing back Leslie from Southampton. They would be the two things I'd be focusing on the next week or two.
Fair enough. Yeah, Louis.
No longer a blip. It's definitely something that needs to be looked at by Chelsea, and Maresca needs to start using his bench a little bit. And if he doesn't want to use his bench because he doesn't trust the players, the club needs to go and make some big signings. Mark Gahey, bring him in at centre-back. I will die on that hill. And centre-forward, I mean, whoever it is, whoever they can think about, let's think about it. And then Leslie Ogechukwu, let's get him back in amongst it with the Chelsea squad.
Yeah, well said, Larry. Thank you. And thanks to everyone who has been part of this today. All the people that have come up, thank you for putting yourself forward and sharing your thoughts on Chelsea. We'd love to hear from you. This is your show. We want to make it your show. So we really appreciate you all coming up and sharing your thoughts on Chelsea, especially at this kind of difficult period of the season. And hopefully we can get back to winning goals in the FA Cup next week. I fully expect us to. And then hopefully again, you know, get back to winning ways in the Premier League in 10 days against Bournemouth. And we'll be back for those games and look forward to being with you then. And up the Chelsea!